Thank you, Sister Johnson. Faith of our mothers, living faith. Lord our God, we praise you. We thank you for the faith of our mothers, for our grandmothers, for women that you allowed to raise children, for women that you allowed to educate the youth of our nation. We thank you that in them we saw and we see the hand of God. We bless your name for their sagacity, their wisdom, for their advice, for their counsel, for their discipline. We honor you, our God, because they taught us to love you, to love, to not hate, to share and to not be envious. We thank you. We praise you. We glorify your name. Honor us with your presence and with preaching power. Bless now those who hear. May they hear not my words, but the words of him who is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Christ who died and was resurrected on the third day, and now seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Hear our prayer, O Lord. Hear our prayer. In the precious name of Christ, our Lord, we pray. And all the people of God who love God said, amen. Amen. And those who were not afraid shouted, hallelujah. Come on, help me now. Hallelujah. 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 The highest praise. Hallelujah. It's good to see Sister Bland in church today with her husband. Thank you for being here. I'm glad that you're here and not at Mount Zion. Amen. Thank you for sharing with us this day. Stan Deckard, thank you for the flowers that grace the church. We praise God for your gift in memory of your mother and sister and all that you love. Our text today comes to us as we continue our theme, our use of Matthew chapter 5, looking at the Beatitudes. Today we focus on verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 1 and following of the Beatitudes reads this way. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when Men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. As you continue in your reading of the Beatitudes are concluded, that chapter is concluded with that 40th verse that says, be therefore perfect, even as your Father is in heaven, is perfect. Look at your neighbor and say to your neighbor, neighbor, come on, help me here, neighbor. I need everybody talking. Neighbor, come on, neighbor. It's hard to be humble. Oh, yeah, it's hard to be humble. Some of you are saying, no, it's not, because what do I have? What is it that makes me humble? First of all, God is our God, and above him there is none other. The prayer of the humble was written by St. Francis of Assisi. He prayed, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. John Wesley and his brother Charles Wesley came from England to establish the church, the Methodist Church on American soil. They had what they call tent revivals, and we find these words from the lips and the writing of John Wesley. Do all the good you can by all the means you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you can. There's an old story about a football team who lost a game by the score of 78-0. That's a humbling experience. The next day at practice, the coach was not happy. He pointed out to the players that they did not play well. They did not execute the fundamentals of the game well at all. They did not block properly. They did not tackle correctly. Their running game was pitiful. Their passing game was worse. Their kicking game was embarrassing. So the coach said to them, we have to get back to the bases. Then he reached over, picked up a football, held it high, held it up in the air for all to see, and said, now, fellas, this is a football. That's really getting back to the bases, is it not? That is precisely what Jesus is doing in the Sermon on the Mount as he gave the Beatitudes. The church people of the times were not executing well. They had drifted away from the fundamentals of faith. Many of them were religious, but their religion was not impacting their daily living as it should. Many of them practiced religion, but they did not live a religious life. Many of them act like they were religious, but they were not religious at all. Many of them act like they were preachers, but they were not really preachers at all. Many act like they were deacons, but they were not really deacons at all. Many act like they were trustees, but they did not do trustee work, and some could not be trusted. Are y'all going to walk with me? And so when we look at the text, we discover that Jesus shares with the people of his day that the life and the model for Christian living is blessed. And so he writes and says to them, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. When I look at this text, I see that I too need to get back to the basics of living and embracing and cultivating the faith that is in me and that is in this church, in our lives. And not only must I cultivate it, and not only must I embrace it, but I must share it with my family, with my son, and you with your child, with your children. For you see, if we do not pass the message of Christ on, if we do not pass the faith on, who will? And so it's incumbent upon us to pass the faith and to live out the faith and to do those things that are pleasing to God. Jesus is saying to us that the basic attitudes in the Beatitudes are significant and crucial and blessed because they represent life as God meant us to live it. Those who are humble-minded and merciful, and those who are obedient and righteous, those who are genuine and courageous, those who work through grief and for peace, those are the ones who are living out the will of God. The first key in unlocking the great truths of the Beatitudes is to come to a better understanding of the first word that introduces each of them. The word bless, what does it mean? The Greek word makarios means more than blessed. So when you hear a person say, I'm more than blessed, they are reflecting what God has done in their lives. You ought to be somebody here that when you asked about God and what God has done for you, you ought to be able to say, I'm more than blessed. And so the word makarios means more than blessed, or how exceedingly happy, or how fulfilled, or to be one with God. The word blessed really means close to God or near to the heart of God. In other words, close to the heart of God are the merciful. Close to the heart of God are the peacemakers. Let us look at the phrase poor in spirit. It sounds so unattractive, so unappealing, so weak and docile. But that is not what Jesus meant here. Not poor in spirit or lifeless. In ancient Hebrew, this phrase, poor in spirit, meant that it was a great compliment. It was a compliment saying to people, you are of God and you are blessed by God. And so when I hear Bunny saying, I'm blessed and highly favored, I won't sit back and snickle. I'll just say she knows something about what God can do and what God has done in his life. Jesus stalls us in the Sermon on the Mountain when he challenges us to strive for perfection. Be perfect, he says. The word perfect in the original Greek means full grown, adult, complete. It means mature. When I look at the text and see what God is saying to us, there are three things that I want to shout out to you. It's not really hard to be humble because you know that you did not create anything, and you know that you are a creation of God. And you did not cause the sun to shine. Jesus, God, the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, he is the creator, and he is the one that sustains us. He is the one that gives us light. And so when I look at the text, I see here that I'm more than blessed when I keep the peace. That I'm more than blessed when I show mercy. That I'm more than blessed when I am a peacekeeper. And so Jesus challenges us to strive for perfection, to be perfect, he says. The word perfect in the original Greek means to grow up, to be fully grown. How does the humble demonstrate that they are mature in the faith? The humble, first of all, they know how to handle frustration. If you are a humble person, you know how to handle frustrations. The spiritually mature person knows how to deal with disappointments, how to turn problems into opportunities. If you have been walking with God and you have humbled yourself before God, then you know how to deal with disappointments. You know how to turn problems into opportunities. When I look at 2 Kings chapter 20 and discover that there was a king there, the king who had given his life in service to God. King Hezekiah had been one king of faith, while other kings had turned to idol gods and married women who changed their minds about God. Hezekiah did not. He maintained the law. He maintained faithfulness. He maintained the praise of the true and living God. And in Hezekiah, in King, 2 Kings chapter 20, the Bible says to him, get your house in order. That is the same message to you and to me. We need to get our house in order. I'm not talking about the physical house. I'm not talking about sweeping and cleaning and mopping and vacuuming. I'm talking about the spiritual house. Our spiritual house needs to be clean. Our spiritual house, oh, help me somebody. Our spiritual house need to get ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ. He is coming back again. We have what the Greeks call the parousia, which is the second coming of Christ. He will come back. He already said that he would come back. In John chapter 14, he said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm coming back to receive you unto myself. Don't know about you, but I'm getting ready. I'm packing up, getting my house in order, that when he comes, I'll be ready to meet him. Well, the Bible says that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then those of us that are left will be caught up to meet him in the middle of the sky. I don't know about you, but I'm getting ready to meet the Lord. I'm humbling myself so that when he comes, I'll be ready to go with him. When the angels take Jacob's ladder and climb that ladder and come down every day, somebody says, pack your bags, get ready. What bag do I need to pack? I need to pack a piece of God's grace in my bag. I need to pack a piece of God's mercy in my bag, a piece of God's forgiveness in my bag. I don't want anything to hinder me. Baggage, the Greek word for baggage, is impedia. It stops us. It keeps us from going forward. But can I tell you something? If you got God's grace, if you got God's love and God's forgiveness, you have a song to sing that the angels cannot sing. I've been redeemed. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. So my brothers, Hezekiah being disappointed, Hezekiah being troubled, Hezekiah being told to get his house in order because he was going to die. When you look at that third verse, the angel had already told him, the prophets have already told him, get your house in order. What he does, he says, well, if I'm going to get my house in order, I need to turn to God. And what he does is he turned to the wall and start talking to God. Whenever you got a problem, don't try to tell everybody about your problem. Turn to the wall. Tell God about your problem. Jesus is on the main line. Call him up. Tell him just what you want. If your soul needs saving, tell him. If your body needs healing, tell him.
And one thing I like about telling Jesus, he don't tell nobody what I told him. He keeps it to himself. He takes my sins and, oh yeah, cast them into a lake of forgetfulness. Whenever you got a disappointment in your life, turn to the wall. Talk to God. I hear Hezekiah saying, I've been a good king. I praise you when other people were not praising you. I fought your battles when other people were not fighting for you. Why would you take my life? Lord said, since you prayed, since you called on my name, since you stretched your hands toward heaven, look to the hills from which cometh your help. I tell you what, I was going to take your life, but I've given you 15 more years. Can I tell you something? If you want God to bless you, turn to the walls and behold, he sends his blessing. You got 15 more years to praise God, to live for God. Humble yourself before God. It's not hard to be humble when you turn to God in prayer. The second thing I want to point out is humble people know how to give praise in the time of a storm. Can I help you here? Humble people know how to give praise in a time of a storm. I had a young lady to come to the office several years ago. And this is what she said. She said, Rev. Jemison, I'm going through some things. I said, do you want me to pray for you? She said, no, I've come to tell you that I've stopped praying. And I don't want anybody praying for me anymore. I've turned my back on God. I walked away. I don't want to come to church no more. I don't want to sing in the choir no more. I don't want to do anything in the church anymore because God has not blessed me. I looked at her and I said, sister, I'd like to pray with you. She said, no, I don't want to hear you pray. And I'm not going to pray. So while she was talking, I said, dear Lord, remind her that you woke her up this morning. Dear Lord, remind her that you gave her eyesight to drive down to this church. Remind her you gave her a car to ride in. She says she's turning her back on you. Don't turn your back on her. Touch her with your finger of love. Touch her and let her know that you will never leave her nor forsake her. Is there anybody here that ever felt like walking away from the Lord? But somehow, God bless you, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. So this young lady, when she walked out, I finished praying and she walked out. The only thing she could say was, thank you, Reverend Jemison. And as she darted out the door, she said, oh, thank you, Jesus. And I saw her back in the choir. I saw her walking in the church. I seen her lifting her hands in praise to God. People who are humble know how to praise God in a storm. You remember Job, don't you? Job lost all he had. He was a multimillionaire. He had almost all the cattle of 1,000 hills. But guess what? A storm came, took his children, took his cattle, took everything that Job had. And guess what Job said? The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Job wrapped himself in sackcloth and said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Is there anybody here that's going through a storm? Trust God. He may look like he's slaying you now, but trust God. In your marriage, trust God. On your job, trust God. God is worthy to be trusted. He's worthy of all our praise and all of our thanksgiving. Job is going through a storm, but he still praises God. His three friends come and they talk to him and say, Job, you know you sin. You know you're not as perfect as you say you are. You're not as perfect as you look. You ought to turn to God, confess your sins. But Job said, look at here. I don't know about you, but I know that my Redeemer liveth. And I shall see him in a latter day. But thanks be to God that Job did not stop praising God. His wife said to him, you ought to curse God and die. Thank God for wisdom. Thank God for women who know God and who trust God. But this was one who just said, I don't like, baby, what you're going through. And so you ought to curse God and die. Job said, no, I'm not cursing God. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to praise him from the coming up of the sun to the going down of the same. I'm going to praise him in the noonday hour. I'm going to praise him in the morning hour. I'm going to praise him at midnight. For you see, when you praise God in the midnight hour, chains fall. When you praise God in the midnight, when you're going through a problem, God works it out for you. I believe that the Lord is on my side. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? Thank God. Thank God that when I'm going through a storm, I can praise him. I don't know how some folk can sit up in church and not say amen. I don't know how some folk can sit up in church and go to sleep. I don't understand that. You ought to take your medicine after church. Hey, help me somebody. And the Bible says to me to tell you that when you praise God, when you praise God, God inhabits, God waits our praise. When you praise God, when blessings go up, when praises go up, blessings come down. That's why I can say thank God for the morning. Thank God for the newness of life. Thank God for what he's done for me. Hallelujah. He's blessed me. He's brought me from a mighty long ways. Through dangers seen and unseen. It was God's amazing grace that brought me thus far. And grace. Grace shall lead me on. So when you're going through something, ask yourself, if a tree is cut down, will it live again? And then turn in your Bibles and see where they cut the tree of life down. Jesus the Christ, and put him in a borrowed tomb. But on that third day morning, he answered Job's question, if a man die, shall he live again? He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoso believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? So when you're going through something, don't get mad at God. Praise God. When life robs you of what you think you should have had, just give God some glory. Can I get a few people to help me praise God? For you see, if you praise him, blessings will come. Finally, know how to be self-giving. Humble people know how to be self-giving. Most of us are selfish. Most of us want everything to go our way. But can I tell you something? Everything won't go your way. There are some things that I like to see happen in Second Baptist. But I got folk left and right telling me, Reverend, I wouldn't try that. And guess what? Sometimes I listen to the advice. But sometimes I turn to the wall and ask God, what do you want me to do? And sometimes God's will is not the will of the people. For you see, he knows just what I need. He knows what's good for the congregation. Sometimes I think we ought to not do this. And God says, I didn't tell you not to do that. I told you to keep the doors open. I told you don't shut the doors. Keep the doors open. Because I'm sending an angel to come by to bless Second Baptist. But if the doors are closed, if the people can't feel like they can't get in, I'm going to let my angels skip on over. But thank God the Second Baptist Church doors are open from 8 o'clock in the morning to 9 o'clock at night. That gives people who deal with chronology time, deal with human time, to come in. But thank God that God is Christocentric, that God is Christology, that God has his own time. He may not come when you want him, but he is. He is an on-time God. Thank God. When you praise him, he will bless you. We want our own way. But he says, my ways are not your ways. And since our ways are not God's way, we just got to wait on him. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They that wait on the Lord, they shall take on wings like an eagle, and they shall fly away to be at rest. Is there anybody here that's willing to wait on the Lord, to give of yourself to the Master? I don't know about you, but I made up my mind a long time ago that I was going to give of myself to the Lord. Sometimes it's been hard. Sometimes I've been down, almost level with the ground. But I can tell you that there's no way I can go too far that God's arms will not reach down and pick me up. Is there anybody here that's been in sin, the muck and miry clay of sin, but he picked you up and put your feet on a solid rock and establish your goings and your comings? That's because he is a self-giving God. He gave himself. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have life everlasting. Thank God that my sins won't kill me. Thank God I may die from my sins, but there's something on the inside that is called the soul of man. The Hebrew word is nefesh, that God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. One day this life shall pass away. One day I shall give up the spirit, but thanks be to God that there's an inner man, that there's a soul on the inside. And though this earthly body shall decay, thank God, thank God, thank God for the soul that's in me, for my soul longeth to be with God. Is there anybody here that know death is not the end? For you see, you may die on this side. It's like a ship. Oh yeah, it may be passing away from here, but thanks God there's somebody on this other side. Say, there she goes. And then somebody say, here she comes. I don't know about you, but this old ship of Zion that's called the love of God, and my soul is anchored in the Lord. Is there anybody here that soul is anchored in the Lord? Is there anybody here that knows something about the grace of God? Is there anybody here? Oh yeah. That know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Is there anybody here that love my Jesus? Is there anybody here that love the Lord? I don't care what you've been going through. You are here today to be a living testimony. You had a heart attack. They had to put stents in your heart, but you're still here. You had, you had cancer. They rooted it out and you're still here. There's somebody that had a mental condition, but the Lord laid his hands on you and you're still here. Somebody said you'll be dead and gone, but you're still here. Can I tell you why you're still here? Because God loved you so much that he wanted to use you to be a testimony, to tell somebody, I love the Lord. He heard my cry. and pitied every groan. Long, don't know how long, but long as I live and trouble rise. And hasten to his throne. He's worthy. He's worthy. He inhabits all of our praise. And he gave his life that we may have life.
Yes.
And that we may have it more abundantly. Ooh, I don't know what more abundantly is, but I thank God I shall have it more abundantly. You know, I'm going to take off these old clothes. I'm going to take off these old clothes. I'm going to take off grave clothes and put on my robe in glory. Is anybody here got a robe in glory? That's it, that's it. I got a robe. Robe in glory. And guess what? It's mine. You may wear a size 50, but it's not your robe. You may wear a size 44, but it's not your robe. It's my robe. You may wear a size 11 shoe, but it's not your shoe. It's my shoe. That's what I like about the old folks. They say, I got a robe. You got a robe. All God's children got a robe. When I get to heaven, I'm going to put on my robe. Somebody said, you ain't going to heaven. Yes, I am. The reason why I know I'm going to heaven is because the Lord told me that he was preparing a place for me. I got you. And you got you. Thank God for the faith of our mothers. Songwriter said, I remember sitting on my mother's knee. And she said to me, son, you are fine. God's amazing grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. That saved, oh yeah, a wretch. He didn't save the righteous. He saved devils, sinners to become saints. And so if you have a humble mind, you know how to handle frustrations. You know how to handle it when folk talking about you. You know how to handle it when they rise up and say you're not doing it right. What you can just say is, thank God for you. Thank God for your comments. And move on with the glory of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The door to my Father's house is standing wide open. We invite you to come. Choir sings. We're coming. If you're here today and you don't have a church home, I invite you to come. Church is standing.
Living in this season, don't do it without me. Don't do it without me. Lord, if you're healing in this season, don't do it without me. Don't do it without me. Oh,
You may be seated just for a few minutes.
Reverend Jemison and members of Second Baptist Church, we have Ms. Junice McGee, wishing to become a member of Second Baptist Church based on her Christian experience.
Mrs. McGee, I'm delighted to welcome you to this body of Christ that is called Second Baptist. I've watched you in church. I've watched you at some of our social activities. And I thank God that you've decided to make Second Baptist your Christian home. We love your daughter here, sings in the choir, and she can bake a nice, good sweet pie. So we praise God for Mrs. Sellers. You taught her how to do it. All right, she says she loves the music here. She loves the choir. We're grateful to God for your presence, and we accept you as a full-fledged member of the Second Baptist Church. You have the rights of any member of this church to sing God's praises, to lift your hands, to give glory to God. And if you want to, you can sing in the choir. We'll make a special way for you to sing. We welcome you. We're glad that you're here. We say congratulations to you on your granddaughter graduating from Texas Women's University. North Texas State. And we're glad that she graduated. And she's one of us. And she now has a job in St. Louis, Missouri. Amen. We're going to send her a tithe and offering envelope. Well, we welcome your mom, and we're grateful for your presence and for the power of the Holy Spirit in this place. Lord our God, we thank you for these people who have come. We thank you for mothers and for the joy of serving you. We pray now, our God, that you would remind us that when we feel frustrated and don't think that things are going the way that they should go, that we should not turn our backs on you, but turn to the wall. We thank you, our God, for reminding us this day that you are the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by you. Thank you for allowing us to humble ourselves and to praise you. And then, our God, we thank you for reminding us that you, God, were self-giving and that we too need to give ourselves to you. And so, Lord, we surrender all. As we go from this place, we pray for your guidance. We pray for your power. We pray that you would give us safety as the road rise up to meet us. And the power of your Holy Spirit be at our backs, pushing us toward excellence and service to you, to humankind. That the raindrops will fall softly upon our professions, upon our desires, so that our dreams will come to fruition. And then, our God, may the sun shine warmly upon our faces to remind us of the warmth of your presence and the power that's in your name. And then until we meet again, whether it's in choir rehearsal or midweek service, Sunday school, or worship, we pray that you would hold us in the palm of your hand. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray. And all the people of God said amen. And those who were not afraid shouted hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, ushers. Thank you, choir. Choir, you did a great job today. We go in peace.
different.